Praise God. Well, let's pray over the word. Are you ready for the word? Hallelujah. Dear Heavenly Father, we're about ready to get back into your word. It's our bread from heaven. And we thank you, Father, that you provided it for us and that we are to live by every word that has proceeded from your mouth. And Father, we ask today that as I share the word, that your anointing be present. And Father, it fulfills the needs of the hearts that not only are here, but also that are listening by live stream. May all over the world, I guess. But Father, may whatever I share meet the need of every heart and ear that hears today. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Hallelujah. Well, if you will, turn over to Ephesians chapter 6. Was you trying to tell me something, Sam? Oh, hallelujah. I guess not. Yeah. Oh, Sue and I? Go ahead. Sue, who in the heck is that? That's the pastor. We were not in fellowship with the Lord when we had this picture taken, but I remember that pastor calling me after we'd been to several churches and nobody would marry us. Huh? Yeah, she was over 18, yeah. Well, I remember that. Anyway, that pastor called me and he said the Lord had told him to marry us. And I was shocked because Sue and I couldn't figure out why the churches were so against her and I getting married. I thought that's a place to go to get married. So we had come to the conclusion maybe the justice of the peace. I had hair back then. Anyway, the justice of the peace would marry us, and that pastor called us. I don't think he's alive now, but he was a pastor of a. Was he a Lutheran pastor or minister? I think he was some denomination, and so when he said the Lord had told him, I was kind of surprised. So after he hung up, I told Sue, "Hey, Sue. The Lord's for us getting married anyway." And so he said he couldn't marry us at his church, but he could marry us in his home. So that was his house that he married us in. So it was kind of cool. Praise God. So after being married 51 years to her, I found out it was the Lord. Praise God. Hallelujah. We already prayed over the word, didn't we? Okay. I had you turn to Ephesians chapter 6. We'll go there. Ephesians chapter 6. I have some things I want to share today that it's needful that I share these things because of where we're at with all that's going on with our nation and with this COVID thing and stuff. And so I have a message I want to share today that the Lord started putting in my heart two or three weeks ago. And during our Christmas vacation, I plugged into the Lord. I fasted with him, meaning that I wasn't going to let too many things distract me from listening to his mind. And so I thank God for it. And my wonderful wife had a dream last night. And had spoken some things to me in that dream. And I was so thankful for the Lord doing that. And so I really have confidence in what I'm going to share with you today that will be beneficial for you and also for you that are listening by live stream. And I think it will help in the area of fear. Fear is a horrible thing when it's not applied properly. There is a fear that is reverential. It's proper. But there's a fear that is not proper, that is not productive. And so the fear that I'm talking about now belongs to believers to avoid, to stay away from. And so that's what I hope my message will do today to help you. In Ephesians chapter 6 at verse 10, we have covered the fact that Paul turned to people who were skilled in warfare for intercession for the body of Christ. Somebody asked me, well, Pastor, you said this was just specifically for the mature. It was specifically for the mature who had been in a position of intercessory prayer for the church. But it doesn't mean that it doesn't apply to each and every individual's life. Because I got news for you. A newly planted believer in God can run the devil off. They can resist the enemy. So I don't want people to think that you have to have some kind of knowledge to run the devil off. You don't. You just have to take your position in the name of Jesus, and you could resist him and run him off. But there are a lot of people who come into the body of Christ who don't have that knowledge. And so Paul was encouraging the Ephesian church, which was a local body. He was saying, order up these people that know how to pray and do intercession for the church, because the whole book of Ephesians is progressive. And we've covered the book in detail in the past. And so we know where this ends up. He talks about this place of intercession, praying with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. And then he ends up saying something to them also. He says, and for me, you pray for me, that all utterance may be given to me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains, that in it I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. Well, you know, when I was reading that verse, it showed me very clearly that, you know, pastors need prayer from you to me, that I do speak boldly the word of God, and that I don't compromise it, but I speak it boldly. You know, I've been in ministry now here at By His Word for 40 years, and before that I was 8 years as an evangelist. And I've seen God do some wonderful, mighty things, not only in the evangelistic field, but also in our church, in people, and in my life, and in my wife's life, in my children's life. And so God is good. He is very good. But when you're a pastor and you're called to stand in this place to watch over what I put into your souls, it better be the Word of God. It better be the Word of God. And it's a wisdom that brings peace. It's easy to receive and accept. But where are you at with Him for it to be easy? And for it to be easy for you to receive and accept it. Well, not all people receive the truth of God's word. And we're living in that time frame where we will not, and many of them will not endure sound doctrine. And that word sound doctrine is very interesting. That word sound means something that cleans you up. Something that changes you as a person from that which is not too good to that which is good. Praise God. And so there's going to come a time when Christians will not endure sound doctrine that cleans them up. Matter of fact, it says in the same epistle, this is 2 Timothy, it's in the same epistle, he says that the church will be going to and fro looking for teachers that will itch their ears. That itching of the ears means that we'll be preaching something that they want to hear. Not what they need to hear, but what they want to hear. And boy, we're seeing that now. There's many winds of doctrine flying to and fro. And we need to be careful what we put our ear to. I'm telling you something. I'm going to be very careful of what I put my ear to when it comes to music. I started listening to this Christian music channel, and I started paying attention to the words, and I couldn't believe what some of these people are singing. Totally unscriptural things. And I got to thinking, I like the tune. I like the something you could dance to, you know? But when I began to listen to the words that were being uttered, it finally dawned on me, wait a minute. This is not the Word of God. What they are saying negates the Word of God. I'm going to tell you something. The devil has a way of inching his way into everything, and we need to be alert and alive and watch, especially what we hear. Now, we talked about in Ephesians these four levels of government structure of Satan. And then we talked about the eight operations of the church of God, of the body of Christ in the earth. They come through the apostle, the prophet, the teacher, the pastor, miracle healings, helps in governments, and diversity of tongues, and how they combat those four areas of government structure. Now, follow me really close here for a moment. We talked about principalities. Actually, it's the Greek word arche, which means first in rule. And so we understand that this is referring to fallen angels. And we brought out that the fallen angels are ones who administer downward. And Jesus himself said that Satan does have an order. And he knows that he cannot have his kingdom break order, break rank. Because Jesus said that if the church is going to permit the devil to break their ranks, then what hope has the church got? Well, it's the same thing with the kingdom of God. That Satan knows that if his kingdom is divided, what hope does he have to its end? And so we know that there's a government structure of demonic powers as well as a heavenly structure of authority. And the reason I'm bringing this out is because when you have a demonic structure, you've got to have an understanding that God does not use anything when it comes to demonic powers to educate us. And there is forms of doctrine. I've found it in the midst of our camp that should not be there. And they've actually have been teaching the body of Christ that God will use demonic powers to educate us or to teach us something. I'm going to tell you something. You don't need the demonic power to come into the kingdom of God to educate you on anything. He operates out here in this world. And I got news for you. If you're here physically, which I hope that you are, then you know that you are going to go out into that world and become a product of that world because you live in that world. Can I hear? And so you know what that tells me? I don't need to believe the enemy is going to come in and educate me with when I'm living in his realm, this fallen realm where he has a temporary lease on. Hey, he's going to come at me one way or the other.
What I need is I need training, learning, and education how to combat what's inevitably going to come my way living in this realm.
I got off my high horse on that one. You better watch when you use that term, God allows. Well, I've seen Christians, well, God allowed it. You know what the word allowed means? It means that God came into an agreement with what the devil's doing to you because you're the one that permitted it. And so you're going to learn something from it. Well, I'll tell you what, there's an element of truth to that. If I permit him to have entrance into my life, put a handle on me in any way, shape, or form, voila. What do I expect? I don't need God to come along and say, well, I'm going to continue to teach you that way. No, eventually, if you have made yourself a product of his government structure, it is not because God designed it that way. It's because you were stupid enough to step over into his territory and become a victim of what he has to offer. Now, why did I even bring that up? We have a little problem. I said a little one. Because when you see it from my perspective, it's a little problem. But if you put your ear to the enemy, it becomes a big problem. And so you got to be able to balance what you're faced with in this world with the Word of God. You got to put your ear to the Word of God as well as what's going on in the natural. And guess what? It ain't going to be too hard for you to figure out what's going on in the natural. All you have to do is wake up and turn TV on. And you'll get educated. But I got news for you. Believers need to wake up in the morning, and the first thing they need to do, today is a new day. It's a fresh day in you, Lord. Today I want to know, Lord, that you are the ground that I stand on. You are my Savior, and today I choose to be joyful. I choose to be what you have given me, and I inherited because you are God today in my life. Now, I got news for you. The devil's going to be the same yesterday and today. But I got news for you. Jesus said the evil will take care of itself tomorrow, but you need to realize that he's working today. And we're not ignorant of that. Somebody always comes up and says, do you know what the devil's doing now? Yeah, I kind of got an idea. He's kind of increasing. But I'm going to tell you something. I am in perfect peace. You want to know why? Because my Bible tells me if you want to stay in perfect peace, keep your mind on him. Don't let your mind wander all over the place. I saw these bumper stickers, me and John Cook when we were in Tulsa, and this guy had these bumper stickers all over his car, and he had spiked hair, it was going everywhere, different colors and everything, and I knew there was something wrong with that guy. But I looked at his bumper stickers and I started laughing, and John Cook did too, and it said on one of the bumper stickers, don't let your mind wander alone, it's too little to be left to itself. I said, touche. But our natural mind has not been really birthed. Listen, our natural mind is not birthed or born from above. It is our spiritual mind that is birthed or born from above. And because of that, now your spiritual mind has the ability to deal with your natural way of thinking. Thank God for that. Thank God for that. But
I want to cover some things before I get to reading you from one of the books that Kenneth Hagin. I love that man. Say what you want to say, but he has been my mentor for life. According to 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 2, let's go there real quick, like. I want to share something with you because I want to share with you what the Lord told me about our church. Now listen, what I'm going to share with you today belongs to By His Word Christian Center. It is something, as the head of this church, God spoke to me. If you're watching by live stream and you're a member of another church, I'm not speaking over your pastor or your church that you're attending. If you're watching in today, you can benefit from what I'm going to share. But really, I've got news for you. This is a word that God has given to me as pastor By His Word Christian Center. He didn't give me this specific word so that I am to say that this is something that has to be followed by every pastor. I cannot go outside of the realm that God has commissioned me to. You guys understand that? Now, in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, in verse 2, but we have renounced the hidden things of shame, not walking in craftiness, nor handling the word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation. But by manifestation. This word here, by, you'd think it meant through. But this word is different. It's phaneseros. And it literally means to make visible or observable. To make visible or observable of the truth, commanding ourselves. In other words, what we stand with God and before men. This is referring to when we have received the enlightenment of God's Word. It has illuminated itself within us. This light will manifest itself. It will have a manifestation to it. Everybody following me? The manifestation of it is called truth. Truth. You'll know people by their fruit. Their fruit is what truth has processed within their heart. That truth. Now I'm going to tell you what, we're living in a time frame right now when broad. Somebody said, well, what does it mean to be liberal-minded? Liberal-minded, according to Scripture, is broad is a way that leads to destruction. But when it comes to the Word of God, it is very narrow and very purposeful and very pointed. You are not, you don't have the freedom to think the way you want to think when you're a believer. You are required to think like God wants you to think. He doesn't want you to think any way you want to think. He wants you to get into the Word of God and pick up on an understanding of how God's interpreting what He's saying to you through Scripture by the aid of the Holy Ghost. Not by man, but by the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. And so he was saying here that when we have this understanding, we not only have it as we stand before men, but we also have it in our understanding before God. So God, when he bursts truth in us, he not only has himself in mind, but he also has the conscience of natural mind within its framework. And that's why I told the Lord today I want to be very careful at how I choose my words. Because all of those that have an ear to hear what I'm saying, it could penetrate or poke. It could do something with your natural way of thinking that might turn you off. Now I can't help that part of you, but I know one thing. That if I choose the right words, then you're responsible for what you reject or accept. because the choice is always yours. But 1 Corinthians 4:4, I want to bring this up before I go on. People, I'm going to say the same thing that Paul said. I'm going to say it to you. And those of you listening and those that are here. In 1 Corinthians 4:4, notice this. For I know nothing against myself, yet I am not justified by this. But he who judges me is the Lord. Therefore judge nothing before the time until the Lord comes, who will both bring to light the hidden things of darkness and reveal the counsels of the hearts. This word counsel here is motives. What has motivated the heart of a person? And Paul says, I don't know anything within myself that I'm aware of that God has put his finger on it, but I'm not saying I'm exempt from that. He's saying, I'm not saying I know everything, but he's saying this, but I do know one thing. What I do know, God has formed me to know that. And no matter what you say or do, what he has revealed to me, I am steadfast in. You know why he said that? Because the church was tearing itself apart by following different ministers. And Paul was called not only to reveal the church age, but he was called to put the church together in an understanding of how it functions together. And he said, I was called to be a wise master builder. In other words, if he's going to set the church up, he's got to be mature enough to know how it functions and operates. Because we have a government structure of Satan out there working in this world. Now, turn over, or let me say this. In 2 Corinthians 4:4, it says very clearly that Satan is the god of this world. He is the god of this world. And God, who is the Lord over the church, has got a way of getting into the church to where he can form his light within the body of Christ to affect the god of this world. To gleam as many people as he can to retrieve him. To retrieve mankind from eternal death. Because they are an eternal being. If you have a spirit, then you are an eternal being. You will live forever. Where, I don't know. That's up to you. But Jesus said in Matthew 16:13-19, he says that the government structure that he is going to build his church in is not going to be permitted to be overthrown by the government structure of Satan. Well, if that's the case, then we want to know how the government structure of God works. Amen? And if we understand how the government structure of God works, then we can do something against the government structure of Satan. Doesn't that make sense? You know, if you're going to win a war, you got to know how to beat your opponent. That's right, little Micah. Now, go over to, what would be the next best? Go to Exodus chapter 3. Exodus chapter 3. Yes, that's a good place to go. Yes, Lord. In Exodus chapter 3, look at verse 1. Now Moses kept the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian, and he led the flock to the back of the desert. Now, from what I understand on church history, I'm not a real buff on it, but from what I've been told, that Jethro was the one who gave Moses much enlightenment as to the beginning of time. And I believe that that was true. Moses then was tending to the flock in the back of the desert and came to Horeb, the mountain of God. Horeb, the mountain of God. And the angel of the Lord appeared to him in a flame of fire from the midst of a bush. So Moses began to take notice that there was a bush that was on fire, but it wasn't being consumed. And notice what he goes on to say. So when the Lord saw that he had turned aside to look, God called to him from the midst of the bush and said, "Moses, Moses." And he said, "Here am I." Now, according to Hollywood, he said, "Moses, Moses." You know what? That was Charlton Heston. And did you know it was Charlton Heston's voice that was the voice of God? Because it was deep. I thought that was pretty interesting. But anyway, Moses called to him. Isn't that kind of like what Sarah was saying? He called you by name. Isn't that good? All those that are called to God, when you responded, you're no different than Moses. You were called. Butler. Jan Butler. Did I hear that? I did too. I heard it in the sign shop. I had received the Lord, and I think I was a week old in the Lord, and I was cutting some letters out on a bandsaw, and off in the corner where nobody was, I heard an audible voice call my name. And I knew it was God. Kind of felt like Moses. So, Moses said, "Here am I. Here I am." Then he said, "Do not draw near this place until you take your sandals off your feet. For the place where you stand is holy ground." Did you guys get that? Holy ground. "And moreover," he said, "I am the God of your father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob." And Moses hid his face, for he was afraid to look upon God. Now I'm going to tell you where you're at today. Did you know that you're following not only the God of Abraham, and not only the God of Isaac, and not only the God of Jacob, and not only the God of Moses, but you're following the God of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. We can put that in there now, because time has passed. And in verse 10, he says, "Come now, therefore, and I will send you to Pharaoh, that you may bring my people, the children of Israel, out of Egypt." But Moses said to God, "Who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and that I should bring the children of Israel out of Egypt?" Who are you whom God called you into his kingdom, and you think the government structure of Satan is going to rule over you? No, you were called into his kingdom. Oh, glory to God. You were called into his kingdom to set him right, no matter what it takes to deliver people from the snare of the devil. You have that right. You have that authority. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. Now turn over to Hebrews chapter 3 real quick, like. Hallelujah. 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 Praise God. Hebrews chapter 3. Praise God. And what do we read when we read Hebrews chapter 3? We read about the house of Moses and the house of Jesus. And you know what? Moses was faithful in his house. We need to be faithful in our house. Our house is of the Lord Jesus. Why do you think we sang that song on John 14? I go to my place to prepare a place for you. Well, guess what? He has prepared a house for you and I to dwell in and to live in. And that house was erected by the Lord Jesus Christ, called the body of Christ in the earth. And you, as a member of the body of Christ, fit into that place. Well, I'm getting live stream, hallelujah, and more than I'm getting you guys. Hallelujah. He said this very, and you know what he goes on and says? He goes on and says, I want to show you an example. Don't be like those that God delivered supernaturally out of Egypt. Because that rock and that cloud and everything, you know what it says in the New Testament? It says that rock or that cloud or whatever it was they were following was Christ. And guess what? We're not of the house of Moses. We are now the house of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I got news for you. They followed a type and a shadow. We follow the person manifested. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And the devil comes along with his flapping jaws and his big mouth, and he speaks to the church, and the church, what are we supposed to do? Pan Sharp passed away from COVID a few days ago. And John Cook came up with COVID. He's in the hospital. He's going to come out of it just fine, folks. But I'm going to tell you what. I said, Lord, how do I deal with this COVID thing? He said, now they're starting to come down on us more. And they're going a step further. Now they're going to eventually legislate. You're all going to have to be inoculated. I'll tell you what, I ain't going to have none of that stuff shot in me. The devil is not going to make my system more perfect because he gets in me. Now, people say, well, if you have 100 or more gathered, it can be a problem, especially in businesses right now. Well, they're not going to stop at businesses. They're going to start stopping at churches. There's no telling how far this thing can go. Bob and Jerry was showing me how this is affecting the whole world. People, I'm going to tell you something. The devil's world is shakable. Our kingdom is not shakable. Glory to God. And I'm serving notice that our kingdom is not a kingdom that can be shaken. Why? Because we're not of the household of the devil. We're of the household of the living God. Hallelujah. Now, according to when you read your Bible, it talks about that when they came to the mountain, Mount Sinai, they feared and trembled. And Moses was the one who first validated a veil. And so the Jewish custom was that man had to veil themselves because of Moses, what he did. Now, some of you might not have read I think it's 2 Corinthians. Well, let's go to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. We're right here. I want to show you something. I hope this is helping you a lot. I have so much going through my head. I'm trying to select words that will make it palatable for you to understand what I'm trying to say. In 2 Corinthians, yes, that's it. 2 Corinthians chapter 3. Turn there. In 2 Corinthians chapter 3, look at verse 3. You are manifestly an epistle of Christ ministered by us, written not with ink, but by the Spirit of the living God, not on tables of stone, but on tablets of flesh. Actually, in the Hebrew, the Greek is fleshly hearts. And we have such trust through Christ towards God. Not that we are sufficient of ourselves to think of anything as being of ourselves, but our sufficiency is of God. This is a message to you guys. Your sufficiency is not because of you. Your sufficiency is what God has made you and given you. That's where your sufficiency is. Now go down to verse 7 here. But it's a ministry of death written and engraven on stone was glorious, so that the children of Israel could not look steadily on the face of Moses because of the glory of his countenance, which glory was passing away. Actually, in the Greek it says, was fading out. So, turn over to Exodus chapter 34 and let's look at what he's talking about. I'm headed for something, people. I'm headed, if you don't receive what I got to share, then I'm not your pastor. But this is for By His Word Christian Center. Now, in Exodus chapter, 34? Yeah. And the Lord said to Moses, cut two tablets of stone and etched on them the Ten Commandments. And the Lord passed before him and proclaimed the Lord, the glory of God, merciful and gracious, long-suffering, abounding in goodness and truth, keeping mercy for thousands, forgiving iniquity and transgression and sin, by no means clearing the guilt, the visit of the inquiries of the father upon the children and the children to the third and fourth generation. So Moses made haste and bowed his head before the earth and worshiped. Then he said, if now I have found grace in your sight, O Lord, let my Lord, I pray, go among us, even though we are stiff-necked people, and pardon our iniquity and our sins, and take us as your inheritance. That's something. Now, let's jump on over to verse 29. And now it was so when Moses came down from Mount Sinai and the two tablets of the testimony were in Moses' hand, and when he came down from the mountain, that Moses did not know that the skin of his face shone while he talked with him. So then Aaron and all the children of Israel saw Moses. Behold, the skin of his face shone, and they were afraid to come near him. In some translations, it was like lightning bolts were shooting from his face. And you know what happened? He got into the presence of God. And guess what? The glory of God got into him skin. Got into his skin. Have you ever noticed somebody come out of prayer closet and they look different? They look, wow, like they've been in the presence of God. Their face is soft and beautiful. Some people come out of my prayer closet and I looked at them and they convicted me. and so here Moses is. He's got this glow on. And so when Moses called to them and Aaron and all the rulers of the congregation returned, and Moses talked with them, returned to him. Why? They all freaked out when they saw him. They all ran from him. Whoa, where has he been? They weren't even paying attention to the Ten Commandments. They were just frightened of how he looked. And Moses, when he had finished speaking with them, he put a veil on his face. But whenever Moses went in before the Lord to speak with him, he would take the veil off until he came out, and he would come out and speak to the children of Israel whenever they had commanded. And whenever the children of Israel saw the face of Moses, that the skin of Moses' face shone, then Moses would put the veil on his face again until he went in to speak with him again. Do you know what Moses had learned? If he was in the presence of the Lord, he could control that stiff-necked nation. Simply because he could display before that nation the glory of God that was on him. But this glory would not remain. It would start fading away. And so Moses put a veil over it to go back into the presence of God. He would take the veil off and say, God, you and I are together again. Get your glow on here. And he'd get that glow on again. And then he'd come down and he had control of the people again. Why? They saw that glory. And so they couldn't see the glory fade away because of that veil. I'm going to tell you something. Whenever the children of Israel saw the face of Moses, Moses knew that if he had a glow on, he could control the people because they were sense ruled. They didn't have any better brains to realize that when Moses communicated with them, it had to be directly communicated to them because of his presence that he spent in time with the Lord. Do you know why I'm sharing you the word today? Because I've spent time with my Lord to share this with you. Of what he's shown me. Now, if you will, go back to 2 Corinthians. I want to show you something here. And I want you to get a hold of this. And I'm speaking to whoever is willing to believe and to understand what I'm sharing. Now watch this. Now, how will the ministry of the Spirit not be more glorious? For if the ministry of condemnation had glory, the ministry of righteousness exceeds much more in glory. For even what was made glorious had no glory in this respect, because of the glory that excels. What does he mean by that? Even though Moses had a glory about it, the glory that now exceeds that glory is the glory that God has given you and me that lives in us. Not in our skin, not in our outward man, but the glory of God dwells within you. And I got news for you. If the glory of God dwells in you, then that is the hope for this dying world. And it cannot come out of our flesh. It got to come out of our spirit. Can I hear an amen? It's got to come out of your spirit. I've been preaching the new birth for I don't know how long. You've got to know what it means to be born of the Spirit of God. Why? Because people, you can't be like Moses. You can't remove your physical man and go into the presence of God spiritually without first of all dying. You have to remain here with this veil over you. But I got news for you. That is why I always say you've got to understand the doctrine of being co-crucified. You've got to understand the doctrine of resurrection. You've got to understand the doctrine of what it means for the Holy Spirit to work in your spirit. Your human spirit. Because that's the glory that will come out through this veil. Now, get ready for this. Get ready for this. Therefore, since we have such hope, Christ in you, 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 Christ in you. Say it with me. Christ in me. Christ in me. Come on, people. Christ in me. Christ in me is the hope of glory. Glory to God. Glory to God. Now I want you to notice this. Unlike Moses, who put a veil over his face so that the children of Israel could not look steadily at the end of what was passing away, but their minds were hardened. For until this day, the same veil remains unlifted in the reading of the Old Testament, because the veil is taken away in Christ. You were co-crucified. Your outward man is graveyard material. He is only a body that carries the glory of God that's in you. And I got news for you. The devil is not greater than God in me. And the devil is not greater than God in you. Whether you believe it or not, But I'm not going to be like them Israelites coming out and following Christ and sit there and die because of unbelief. I'm going to believe. I'm going to believe. Those of you watching my live stream, you better be in belief. You better believe. Now, Hebrews chapter 12. When you go to Hebrews chapter 12, you know what it says? We haven't come to Mount Sinai, the mountain that quakes fear and trembling, that administer the Old Testament law. We've come to Mount Zion. We've come to Mount Zion, the spirits of just men made perfect. Now, what does that got to do with this special message from the church? When I read this, I couldn't figure out why God wanted me to get back into these books of Kenneth Hagin on demons and devils. And it was weird. I must have an anointing for just flipping the Bible open and pointing your finger. I don't recommend that for everybody. How much authority do we have to keep the devils off our property? Hey, get ready. The church of the Lord Jesus Christ has more authority than we have realized yet. Demons will not act up as long as they are in my presence. They know I've got authority over them. Ernie Reb, a missionary to the Philippines, had an incident happen one time involving devils on his property. He had moved to an island that was supposed to be the very stronghold of Satan. He was building a home on the island and was planning to live there. During the construction, one of the carpenters started hollering, and Brother Reb went to see what was wrong. The fellow worker was thrashing around like he was wrestling with something. He was yelling, "Get him off me! Get him off me!" And Brother Reb said, "I saw something rip his pants legs and get rid of an..." Oh, just a minute. Got to... And tooth marks appeared, and the man started bleeding from the hip down. All this time he was hollering, "Get him off me." I realized it had to be the devil. I said, "I command you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, you leave him. This is my property. You've got no right on my property." And he said the thing ran off. He never did see him, but the other man saw him. And after that, the other carpenters became afraid to work there. The witch doctor came and he wanted to sacrifice a pig and a chicken. Their blood was supposed to appease the demons. Brother Reb said, "No, you won't come on my property. You won't sacrifice anything on my property. There is no evil spirit that is allowed here. I told you not to come back, and they won't come on my property. They won't set foot on my ground. Tell the carpenter to come back. That won't happen again." You see, these demons knew Brother Reb. The devils know you. They will sit around and laugh at you if you don't exercise your authority. The witch doctor came back and said to Brother Reb, "If that man comes back to work and the devils jump on him and kill him, you'll be responsible." He said to his wife and several children, "And you'll have to take care of them if he's killed." And Brother Reb said, "Tell him to come back. Those devils won't attack him anymore. I have forgiven them. I have forbidden them to come on my property, just like I'm forbidding you. You're not offering any sacrifice on property. Get out of here." Now, you know what the devil was telling me about that? People, you bought and paid for this ground. This ground belongs to the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, I'm not speaking for another pastor or even the members of another church. But I got news for you. Even though the members of another church would come on this property, that's fine. Even an unbeliever can come on my property. That's fine. Even you as part of my flock, you have a right to come on this property. But I have given notice to the devil that COVID cannot transfer itself from one human to another on this property any longer. Period. Over and out. Now you can contract COVID once you leave the property, but I'm serving notice on the enemy that fear is no longer going to be on this property because somebody is doing the right thing wearing masks and stuff. The veil has been removed. And as long as by his word owns this ground, this is the Lord's ground. And if you want to come and hear the gospel, you don't have to be faced with fear. You could come on this property because you will not contract COVID on this property. And I've got news for you. Every one of you in here and those listening to my live stream, I have a right to this authority. Why? Because I am the pastor over this ground. I don't have to wonder where your faith is at. I have to make sure that I am in the faith. And I am in the faith. Now you might get COVID out there, but when you come onto this property with that COVID, it cannot transfer itself to another person. I do not permit it. You're responsible for your own house. I told the devil, you can't come back on my property at home. That's my dwelling place. You, COVID, you have no right on my property. Now, I'm not saying that somebody coming on my property won't have COVID. I'm saying if he has COVID, he cannot activate his COVID on me or my ground. And that's how I'm dealing with it. That's just how I'm going to deal with it. I'm not speaking for any other pastor. If you want to, go ahead and do it in the natural. But I'm doing it through the Spirit of God. Hallelujah. And that's what I wanted to share with you this morning. If Christ in us is the hope of glory, then we're not going to let the devil come on our property and do what he wants to do. He's not going to get away with that stuff. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Father, I pray, even those that are listening by live stream, if they've been bound up with fear, Father, they have a right to be free of that. Hallelujah. That fear of the devil, I hate it, Father. I hate it, what it's doing to the church. The church has a right to stand up because it's not veiled. It has the Spirit of Christ within him. Hallelujah. The glory of God. The Spirit of Christ that dwells within us. 2 Corinthians chapter 3 goes right into that thing. The glory of God is within our spirit. Hallelujah. If you're not winning the victories in your life, it's because you have given yourself back to carnality. Get rid of that carnality. Put it on the cross. Nail yourself to the cross physically. Nail it to the cross physically and be resurrected to justification in the Spirit. Hallelujah. And those of you watching by live stream, if you've been out of fellowship with God, it is imperative you get back into fellowship with God. Because in fellowship with God is how you rule over the powers of darkness. You can't rule over the powers of darkness out of his presence. You have to be in his presence for that rule to take place. Can I hear an amen? Amen. For that power to rule has to come out of your spirit. If you're not born again and you're out there and you've heard this message, please, I beg you to receive Jesus. Because there is a hope. Three things abide with the church. Faith, hope, and love. And oh, Father, I thank you these three are going to abide eternally. And it can begin now. If you have no hope, if it seems like your world has fallen down, reach out to Jesus. He will put it back together again. Put you back in control of your own life. I'm speaking to somebody now. I know it. I don't know whether you're here or on live stream, but I'm going to tell you something. Jesus Christ is the answer to everything you could possibly desire and dream of. He passes all natural knowledge and understanding. He gives you insight the world cannot give you. Hallelujah. All that you have to do is say, Jesus, I reach out to you as my Savior and Lord. And then get into a church in faith and believe that you can receive the word of God from that shepherd. If you're by his word, you come on this ground, I got news for you. Even if you've already contracted COVID, he will not have his way on this property. He will not transfer to another person. I want my people to come to my church fear-free. And I'm declaring by his word, Christian Center is holy ground, and you can believe that the enemy cannot attack you while you're on holy ground. But the problem is you're going to have to remove those natural slippers. You're going to have to remove those natural slippers. You're going to have to take them off if you're going to walk on holy ground. That's what covers you as a spirit. You can't go by those earthly sandals. You have to take them off and walk on holy ground. By his word, Christian Center is spiritual ground, people. It's spiritual ground. It is spiritual ground. And if your covering is not spiritual, you're too vulnerable. Be not deceived, for God is not mocked. Whatever a man sows to, that he'll reap. I tell you what, people, I'm reaping spiritual truth. I'm reaching spiritual reality. How about you? What I shared today, I feel all right. I feel all right. I feel all right because the Lord already told me through my wife. I can't tell you that dream, that belonged to me. But that's all I needed to hear. My wife didn't realize I'm... Stand up, everybody. The anointing of God is at these altars. COVID can't have its way at these altars. If you're in your living room, that's your altar. If you want prayer, please contact this church. We would be glad to pray for you. If you want to rededicate your life, contact us. If you need healing, contact us. We'll pray for you. I have prayer warriors that will pray for you. Hallelujah. John Shearer and I are going to begin to organize a special prayer group because of Ephesians 6. Hallelujah. For the body of Christ. For you guys. Hallelujah. You're going to have to fit a criteria, but I'll tell you what, you're too valuable not to set it up right. Too valuable. Hallelujah. 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 I don't know whether it's somebody on live stream or somebody here. But somebody has a tremendous fear. You can't get your blood pressure under check. I got news for you. I want you, church, to agree with me right now, whoever that person is, whether you're here or on live stream. Right now, I saw it in the spirit, you are freaking out because you cannot get your blood pressure under control. I got news for you. You know what we're going to do today? This church is going to pray for you, whether you're here or on live stream. We're going to pray for you that blood pressure will come under control. Do you believe we have authority to do that? Why would God reveal that to me if we didn't have authority over that? Okay, let's pray together as a team. You guys with me? Hallelujah. Father, right now, whoever that person is that's having problem with their blood pressure, Father, we speak specifically to that person. Hallelujah. We're standing in the gap of intercession for that person. Blood pressure, you get in control. You get in check right now in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. We know the will of God for healing. So be it. So be it. Amen. So be it. Say it. So be it. Glory to God. Hey, we're dangerous when we're a team. We're dangerous when we're a team. You know, one will send 1,000 to fight, but two will send 10,000. Father, I thank you for these wonderful people. As they go their way today, may whatever I said with them, may it resonate within them. They are holy ground. Hallelujah. They don't need to put up with the enemy's fear. They are free. And Jesus, we have the perfect law of liberty working within us. God bless you. Have a safe trip home. God bless you guys. God bless you.